That you could be here with us and to join together now in celebrating the birth of Christ. What a joyous and momentous time, occasion this is, and we're glad to be able to share it together. So thank you for being here. My prayer is that your times here now tonight and tomorrow and in the days to come will be spent with much joy and celebration and peace. And we're going to talk a lot about peace tonight and what that means, and I'm excited to share that with you. We have a special service planned. There's going to be lots of music, lots of scripture, and I would encourage you and invite you to sit back and to enjoy this time and to reflect, especially on the birth of Christ and on what that means for you. This is an important and a personal time for each of us as well today. Just one announcement: I had some volunteers who graciously signed up to stay in the nursery. If there's anyone here who would like to take advantage of that tonight, we hadn't originally planned for it, but if you would like to have any of your kids in our nursery, it's in the hallway that's back here. So if you go out the door and then down the hallway, and then there's a hallway right there, and that's where you'll find the nursery. So if any of you would like to take advantage of that, you're more than welcome to do that here this afternoon as well. Our intern's wife will be the example for us. Yeah, thank you. And so you can follow her if any of you would like to do that too. That's, I think, all I have for announcements. I'm not going to really take much time announcing different musicians and things like that. They'll just kind of be coming up. And so, like I said, I would just invite you and encourage you to sit back, to take part in this, follow along with the scripture, sing the songs. They'll be up on the screen. You'll also be able to find them in your hymnal. Follow along in the program. If you have it. I hear we ran out, and our usher's coming down the aisle right now with some extras. If any of you would like that, just flag him down here as well. I think that's the extent of what I have for you, and so let's open our service here now this afternoon with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, it is with joyful hearts that we gather here this afternoon. Thank you for being here with us. That's the true miracle and gift of Christmas, that you're here, that you came. And so we rejoice in that today. Lord, I pray that you would bless this service. I pray that you would bless those who are taking part in the service in different ways. God, I ask that you would open our hearts to hear what you have for us through your word, through the preaching of the word, through the songs that are shared, the scripture verses that are read. Lord, I pray that this would be a special time, even thinking ahead to our candlelight service as well, when we are reminded in a most beautiful way that you are the light of the world. Bless this time. Thank you for this time. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, number 19. Thank you. seated.
Reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you. Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Let's open our hymnals again and turn and sing together, O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 21.
I'll be reading from Luke 2, beginning with verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, among those with whom he is pleased.
Luke 2:15-20. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
This time we're going to take a Christmas offering, and so I'll call in the ushers to wait upon us. Keep it in back.
Traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son.
I am waiting in a silent prayer. the load I bear in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be with me now. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But
one of the reasons I ordered the service this way, to have that song played right now. If you're not familiar with that tune, it's the song called "The Birthday of a King," and part of the lyrics, you know, it goes something like this: "Hallelujah, oh how the angels sing! Hallelujah, Christ is born, and that the King is born." And that's kind of where we're going to be here this afternoon now in the book of Colossians, talking about Jesus as the Prince, the King. The Prince of Peace. And so I would invite you to stand with me as I read just two verses here out of the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Colossians 1, beginning with verse 19. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Father, these are your words, and I pray now that you would set them apart in our hearts as truth, because your word is true. And God, tonight I'm especially grateful that this word of yours is true, that you have made peace by the blood of the cross, and that tonight we have a peace that passes all understanding. Help us to see that this afternoon, I pray. In your name, amen. You may be seated. Have you all seen this parenting strategy? There it is. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not. Maybe some of you have actually tried it. When your kids are not getting along, you have what's called a get-along shirt, where you stick them both in it until they decide to get along. You can take that off there, Dawson. I won't ask you tonight if any of you have done that, and if you have, how well it has worked. It's possible that it works great, except that I would venture to guess that if you do use a shirt like that, you've probably used it more than once. Because as most of all these kinds of things go, any strategies that you might have to make peace between your children, those of you who have children, it's a funny thing. They don't usually permanently fix the problem, do they? Some kind of truce is made and peace comes to your home, but sadly it lasts what? An hour? A day? A week? Maybe a month? Early on in the First World War, Christmas came on in 1914. Leaders had reached a temporary stalemate and they were reevaluating their strategies. Troops from both sides took the opportunity to leave their trenches on that Christmas day and join the enemy in no man's land to exchange Christmas greetings, to swap prisoners, bury their dead, even play a football game. There's an iconic picture of that I found in an article in The Telegraph, one of the newspapers in the United Kingdom, and that brings a whole new meaning to rivals playing football. That's a little bit more serious than Packers-Vikings, all right? The point is, there was a time of peace. It was called the Christmas Truce of 1914, and for a day, it was really nice. But it was followed by 46 more months of war. You see, when we talk about peace and the peace that God gives, it's different than the peace that we think we know here and can muster in this world. The peace that this world has to offer is temporary. It doesn't last. Its quality is lacking. Your children can find a way to get along, to get out of the get-along shirt, and maybe they'll genuinely try to be nicer to each other, but there's always some falling back into it. Even as we get older, we don't always live in perfect harmony with the people in our life. And it's not just relationships. Warring countries can find peace for a day, but it doesn't last. People want world peace. I'm sorry. It's not happening until Jesus comes back. This world is broken. Speaking of which, there are a lot of other things in this world that rob us of our peace. Our conscience wages war on us when we know we've done wrong. There are countless life circumstances or tragedies that can, in an instant, throw our lives into chaos and tumult. Where do we find peace? Peace that lasts. Peace that remains. Peace that steadies. Peace that brings a comfort and a joy that is of eternal quality. The night before Jesus died, he said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." That's the peace that I want to talk about tonight. In the verses before our text, the divinity of Jesus is described. Listen to this. This is who Jesus is, okay? He's the image of the invisible God. So God is invisible to us, right? So in Jesus, God became visible, the image of the invisible God. He created all things, it says. He is before all things. Everything is held together in him. He's the head of the church. He was the preeminent one to beat death, it says. The firstborn from the dead. He's over everything. He rules all. That's Jesus. That's what a prince is, and that's our theme tonight. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. A prince is one who rules, who governs, who is supreme, and he is supreme, these verses say, preeminent. He governs over all. Now, that's kind of a majestic thing to say. He's a big deal. He's the Prince of all. He rules over all. Now, this is a hard question, and I ask it, and I mean this, okay? Because I genuinely care about all of you. Even if I don't know you, I care about you, because you're here tonight. Are there areas of your life where you are rejecting God's preeminence, God's rule? I hear people all the time say that they want God to be a part of their life, but then they don't like it when God says in his word something that would change a part of their life that they don't want changed. One pastor describes that struggle this way. He says, you can't know the absolute if you absolutize anything. Okay? You can't know the absolute if you absolutize anything. So in other words, God is preeminent, he is overall, he is absolute, but you can't know the supreme one if anything else is supreme. You can't say, God, I like you in this part of my life, but not in this part. That's not how this works. God is over all, and to say otherwise is to commit idolatry, to make an idol, a god, an absolute out of something else. And we're all guilty of it in different ways. We're sinful. We're broken. You see, one of the great deceptions of human history is that we deep down know that we want peace. We need peace. We long for love and joy, but we're deceived into thinking that those things can come from somewhere other than God alone. Our souls hunger for those things, and God can give them to us, but we naturally deceive ourselves into thinking that we don't need all of God's help. We want to remain the prince or the princess of our own life, and so we sabotage our own need and instead choose to keep God at arm's length. Maybe give him a few boxes of our life or rooms in our home, but not everything. And then, frankly, the best peace that we can find is temporary. Dear friends, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, it says. The fullness of God, all of him who created all, who holds all things together, who is supreme over all, the fullness of God came. Was pleased to dwell, not part of God, but all of God dwells in this baby born in Bethlehem. Now think about that. This is God, the one who rules over all, the prince, the king, entering into this broken world. in order to heal a broken people. Tonight, we celebrate that the Prince of all that is and was and ever will be came. That he came right into the midst of our brokenness, into our feeble attempts at peace, our sinful desires to do our own things and go our own way, our struggles, our trials, our pains, our sufferings. Where do we find peace? Peace that lasts. Who will come and save us? God. Literally. That's who comes to save you. The fullness of God came and dwelt, lived with us. That is life-changing. It shocks us. God came to save you. And you see, the one who is prince over all, the one who comes to us, and if he's the prince over all, then he's the prince over peace. He's the prince of peace. But see, this is a different peace, like I said earlier, than what the world knows. Remember that the best peace the world can give is temporary because it's a broken world. It's faulty. Listen in verse 20 to why the fullness of God came. To reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You want to know something? Christmas, in my opinion, has been hijacked today in our day and age in a couple of ways. But one of the ways it's been hijacked is by what I would call cheap peace. Follow me on this here. When you think of peace at Christmas time, what do you think of? Okay? What does Christmas, or what does peace at Christmas look like? All right? For me, later tonight, I'm going to turn on the Christmas tree lights, I'm going to pour a glass of eggnog, and I'm going to sit on the couch and find some sort of Christmas Eve service or concert on TV and rest at the end of a busy season, okay? That's peace for me. The peace of Christmas for many is chestnuts roasting on an open fire. One pastor joked that Christmas makes everyone nostalgic for a fire. Why do we want fire, especially at Christmas time, right? It's not Christmas until you're sipping hot chocolate under a blanket by a fire. Peace at Christmas is cozy. It's safe. It's secure, right? What is peace in these verses? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not cozy. It's God leaving the ultimate safety, heaven itself, leaving that and descending into the greatest peril, this broken world, and ultimately spilling his blood on the cross. I can just about guarantee you that the manger was not lined with a soft and cozy down comforter. Okay, it was a feeding trough for animals, and it was cold. It's not the cozy picture that I have in my head. This was the Son of God humbling himself to bring you peace, but not some cheap peace, but rather peace with the God of the universe for eternity. That's what was happening. It's a peace that only he could give, because all peace outside of him is faulty. It's peace that was only made by a bloody battle on the cross when God's Son waged war against your enemy. He endured suffering and scorn, the blows and the beatings, the battle scars, and he gave his life for you. He redeemed you. He purchased your freedom. And he brought you peace. And that guilty conscience and sin and brokenness, cheap satisfaction that our enemy deceives us with to try to separate us from God, it was reconciled. It was paid for by your prince. He died, and it looked like death and brokenness had won, but my dear friends, death and brokenness was swallowed up in victory that beautiful Easter morning. Because of Jesus, death is not the end. Our great enemy is defeated because of Jesus, and so we can rest tonight on a most peaceful night. We can rest tonight knowing that our sins are forgiven, that we are made right with God, and that we are bound for heaven. That's peace tonight. All because the fullness of God came to save the day. When Jesus rose from the grave and first appeared to his disciples, do you know what he said? Peace be with you. That's what the resurrection does. That's what his coming, that's what he came here to do. He came here to defeat our enemy, to bring us peace. True and lasting peace is found only in Christ. It doesn't mean we don't still endure trials here on this earth, but God's peace means that no matter what may come in this world, his peace is not a peace that is fragile or upset or broken or temporary or fleeting. It's peace that remains, that brings hope and comfort in the midst of trials and brokenness, because that's exactly what Jesus did when he came as a baby. He came as the Prince of Peace, delivering peace into the midst of brokenness, and he remained. He didn't bail out when it got too hard. He endured, and he came out victorious, saying, "Peace be with you." And when death is defeated and his peace endures even death, then there's no end to it. It's eternal peace. We've been studying Isaiah 9:6 this Advent season. The names of Jesus that were prophesied there. Wonderful Counselor, this is who Jesus is. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then verse 7, the verse after this says, of the increase of his government, of his rule, and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Our prince will reign forever, and his reign will be marked by peace that never ends. Merry Christmas to you tonight. God bless you all. May God and his peace that never ends, that passes all understanding, may that peace surround you tonight, guard you tonight, your hearts and your minds. May that peace encourage and comfort and strengthen you through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
It is now time for the candlelit portion of our service. I will be bringing the light to the ushers, who I invite to come forth, and we'll be pulling the flame from the Advent wreath here. One bit of housekeeping: as the flame comes to you, we request that the person who is receiving the flame be doing the bending of the candle. So as your candle is lit, please hold your candle vertical the entire time, and the one who is being lit, may they bend theirs. If the ushers would come forward, we will begin. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything that was made was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God alone. Please join us now as we sing Silent Night, hymn number 23. Let us close in prayer. Dear Jesus, you were indeed Lord at thy birth. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for loving us so much that when the fullness of time came, you sent your Son. And that through him, we may have life everlasting and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, as we celebrate this Christmas, we pray that your peace would rule in our hearts and in our lives and in our families and around our dinner tables. and throughout the rest of our lives. Lord, we thank you and praise you that the expanse of your government will continue. And so we pray that your peace would expand and it would reach those even to the ends of the earth. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Receive now this benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. As we leave, I invite you to sing hymn number 18, Joy to the World.